We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. Make a lot of people's day. The Department of Justice Inspector General has made a criminal referral for former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe to the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia. So this is a big story today now, friends. We're waiting for this IG report, but the part that has come out was, as you know, was very incriminating against Deputy Director Andrew McCabe. The charge, what they're saying here up front is, he lacks candor, like duh, including under oath on multiple occasions, he lies. And of course, what I'm going to be really interested in seeing here is how this is going to come out of the wash with Comey out here doing the book tour. Jim, let me start with you before we go to Ilana. And with McCabe, I know we've been talking about this story. Now with Comey out there, kind of in his confession tour of what he's doing. You see, he was on The View just the last day or so here. And of course, he's making the rounds. He's been on Colbert. He's been on all the programs. And which is very surprising for a law enforcement guy to be taking that kind of a risk. But I think there's going to be a lot to reconcile here with him. And now with this criminal referral on Andrew McCabe, it's pretty big news, Jim.
I think so, because McCabe and Comey joined at the hip when they were together in the FBI. And now Comey has come out and said that he's made leaks of confidential, what's determined to be confidential information, to the press. He's also said things in his book and on his book tour that are totally conflicting testimony from what he gave under oath several times. So McCabe joined with Comey, and if there's a criminal indictment for McCabe, in a referral for that, right, Comey's not far behind.
Jim, I want to ask you, right? I am surprised with Comey supposedly being a somewhat, we suspected, a smart guy, intelligent guy, they always say. Yeah, cool. He always talks. I remember him saying the other day, oh, Trump's got a higher IQ than normal. What the hell's his IQ, I wonder? I mean, how is he out there doing this stuff? I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It's, you know, as careful as Comey has tried to play this thing, you know, keep things close to the chest, I'm very surprised here that he took a leap in doing this book tour. I mean, does he need the money that bad, you think, or what?
No, I think it's ego more than anything else. He was fired from a job that he's wanted all of his life. I mean, they showed, you know, on that interview that when he was 6 years old, he wanted to be involved in legal, whether it was police or law, whatever it is, from the time he was a kid. So here he is at the top of his career, and president who he had a tremendous distaste for the first time they met and every time they've met. I mean, he just came out and said on that interview and within his book, I don't like this guy. This guy's a liar.
Exactly,
he's
terrible.
He has no merit. And here he is with this tremendous ego. Everybody that knew him in the FBI said that he was tremendously smart individual. But I think when the ego gets in the way, you begin to make
mistakes. I think you're right. And it's become very personal with Trump and Comey. Very, very personal now. Let's get the lady here today to chime in here. Someone that has no ego, ego? Ilana Friedman.
I don't have
ego. No ego, right, Ilana?
No ego. I'll tell you, Comey, it was a big disappointment to me. When I first heard about him and I heard, read his credentials and so forth, it was very impressive. And everybody was saying he was a man who walked the straight and narrow and wasn't biased and would really do the job properly. Well, anyway, it turns out that Comey has a very loose relationship with the truth. And he's perfectly willing to go out like a tabloid journalist, or right. if you want to call it a journalist, and dig up all the dirt and blast it through the media, and he has become a practitioner of a phenomenon in human nature that I don't have a name for. When a nice, you know, gentle guy gets into the FBI or into a police uniform mm-hmm. sometimes, and suddenly becomes somebody else, mm-hmm. becomes the dispenser of law and order, the dispenser of justice, whether it is law and order or not, it gives him a certain quality of power that he can't, that is totally opposite who he was when he first started. And I've seen young FBI agents who had so much promise, you know, over the first year or so become lackeys of the FBI culture, which yeah. is essentially watch your back so you get your next promotion.
Well, a lot of FBI agents right now and a lot of the FBI are saying that he is really given a bad name now and a bad rep here to the FBI, and they're not happy with this. You're seeing this, I mean, you're seeing them all over the place say that, and a lot of them come across to me as very embarrassed, very, very embarrassed with what Comey is doing here. Obviously, this is at the level that he'll never be able to return here. I mean, he'll never be able to return, you know, back to grace here. This is
he's destroying his reputation.
Totally,
he has essentially destroyed it yeah. by behaving like a spoiled yeah. child who didn't get what he
it's
wants,
bad.
And so he's lashing out at everybody. He's lashed out at me, called McCabe a liar.
Yeah.
It's like the pot calling the
kettle. It's bad.
Black.
You it's
know,
bad.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's
bad.
It doesn't make
it's
any sense.
Never
at
seen anything like this at all.
Using cast iron, by the way.
Yeah.
Well,
racial slur.
Yes, we have. I mean, he could be on tour with Hillary right now, and they could do a duet. On this.
What would that duet, Jim? I wonder. Do you know?
Yeah.
what does Trump calls Hillary a lot? What does he call
crooked? Hillary.
Crooked Hillary. Yeah. And does he have a nickname for Comey yet? Well, I think he called him Slimeball.
No, but...
Slimeball. Yeah, Slimeball. So there you go. So what's wrong with that, right? So you got Slimeball and you got Crooked. Slimeball, Crooked.
You know, a duo of people who are spoiled, who lost what they wanted. And therefore, they're going out and lashing out at everybody and making fools of themselves, really, but not in their own eyes. They think they're doing the right thing, or they think they're doing, you know, they're living up to their own reputation for hubris.
Yeah, hubris is a good word. I would say that's being gentle. You know, you really yeah. use the right adjectives there, Jim. Far more a lady than you and I are a gentleman. Jim, but that's good. Listen, I want to talk to you next about Mike Pompeo before we get on to talking about his importance with North Korea and what's happened there. I want to touch on Mike Pompeo, the CIA director, now the nominee for Secretary of State. Another big story that's trending today here, of course, is that, you know, trying to get his confirmation through, especially at this vital, vital time for him to get into the seat of Secretary of State right now, this has become a real problem. And one of the problems is Senator Rand Paul. Now, the president comes out and says just very late yesterday, Senator Rand Paul has never let me down. And this is kind of how he put it out there. He said, I will say this about Rand Paul. He's never let me down. Now, he said this to reporters at Mar-a-Lago when he was down with the Japan Shinzo Abe there. And when he was asked about this confirmation and all, and he says, Rand Paul is a very special guy as far as I'm concerned. He has never let me down. So basically, Trump was buttering the toast. I mean, that's what he was doing out there. And I get his strategy. He throws it out into the public venue for people to, you know, digest that a bit. Well, now Rand Paul meets this afternoon now, today, with Pompeo, which Trump had suggested he do that. And he met with Pompeo, and I don't know that it's changed his mind. We're going to find out how reluctant he is or not. But he spent about 40 minutes, and they met in Paul's office in the Senate. And Pompeo was, you know, kind of smiling when he left there, and he didn't say get let on anymore whether he changed the name or not. It changed his mind, you know, Rand Paul's mind. If this doesn't happen, Jim, then we're going to be we're going to have some real problems, because Pompeo's not going to get confirmed potentially without this, huh?
Well, I think there might be, you know, coming out of the committee, there might be an issue of how the vote goes. But I think once it gets onto the Senate floor, he will squeak by.
You think some Democrats will jump in and make it happen?
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's people on the Democratic side that will look at it and say, yeah, the past nominations for Hillary and then for Kerry, they got 94 votes on the Senate floor. There are people that say, yes, the president is entitled to his picks, whether we particularly like them or not on a political basis.
If they qualify.
This guy has more than qualifications than 90% of the people.
I mean, he's not as qualified as you are, Jim, but he's up there, man. He's up there.
Well,
I
don't want to be. I don't want to be in government.
You get too
much fun.
Well, he's got too much class and style for that. That's the thing. All right, so we got about 2 minutes left before we do introductions here. Ilana, I want to ask you something about Pompeo before we do that. Do you think that, first of all, do you think he's going to get this confirmation? Do you think that this will happen? Rand Paul will change up? Or do you think there's enough votes there and some Democrats will push him over the top as well, or what?
You know, it's very difficult to say. The Democrats are doing something that I think is so deplorable. They are totally disregarding the exigencies of the current situation globally, not just in with North Korea, but all over the world, and at home. And they're ignoring all of these potentially emergency situations in favor of towing the political line, which is essentially against Trump, Trump for on every issue.
That's it.
And I think that this is truly, they have totally abdicated their responsibilities as congressmen and senators in order to somehow tow the party line, which I think is not only absurd, but it is very un-American.
I agree with what you're saying, all of that, except the point when you say that the Democrats are acting like deplorables. No, that's the Republicans are the deplorables. Remember that.
I said
now.
They were deplorable. What they were doing was deplorable.
Yeah, that word. Oh, okay, that word's been branded now. It's just like crooked.
I can't take that
anymore. Right. All right.
Let's use despicable.
Despicable me. They call it, right? Yeah. All right. Well, listen, also today on Nozzle here, North Korea is very interesting. They've removed a major obstacle we'll tell you about shortly in negotiations. I'm sure Ilana Friedman and Jim McKay are all over this as well. Also, Syria, they're still trying to get in there to investigate that site. I'm very anxious to talk to Ilana about Syria. She has a perspective that I think we want to know, being an intelligence analyst herself. Very interesting things in Syria that we should talk about as well, that with some of the terrorist activities there, I do want to touch on a couple of things that I think Ilana and Jim are probably up on. Also, we've got here the Senate panel is voting on the bill to protect Mueller. We talked about that yesterday on the show. Well, this is, and McConnell said, well, he's not going to have it. Well, now there, Chuck Grassley, who it really surprises a lot of people. He's the chairman, the judiciary chairman. He comes out and says they're going to vote on it in the committee anyways, that McConnell doesn't have much to say about that. Sounds like everything is just doing hunky-dory there in the Senate, Jim. They're all just flabbergasted here. But so he wants to push this whole thing about not firing special counsel. Should be interesting. All right, let's do introductions here so we get everybody up to speed. And Ilana Friedman, please take 15 seconds and tell folks your brilliant, brilliant credentials, please. Like even the Nobel Prize.
I don't know what they are.
Tell them all that.
I will tell you what I can think of at the moment. I'm an intelligence analyst, and I specialize in mostly in Islamic terrorism, but in global terrorism, particularly as it relates to the threat against the West. And I've been doing that for a few years. Going on 20 or 30 or
the time's
like
flying
that.
By, Ilana.
And I was trained in Israel, as it happens, and where I lived and worked for 16 years.
Wow.
And now I'm in the United States, and happily so, farming and living the good life.
Yeah.
Living the dream, as they say.
Back to the Foreman bit. You know, there's a couple stories later on I want to talk to you that I thought about you today when we, because I know you are a farmer as well, which I think is just terrific. She sends me pictures sometimes, Jim, of her with a baby animals, like giving birth to this or that. She'll tell us, but it's really great.
Lambs and kids and stuff.
Lambs and kids and goats, oh my. Is that what they call that there? Yeah. So
lambs and chicks and goats, oh my.
Yeah. So she's on a real farm. You thought you were on a farm, Jim. She's on a real farm over there, man. You know? Hey? You thought this was a farm here? We're more of a zoo, not a farm. Go ahead, Jim McKay.
50 acres of heaven.
Okay, I'm a retired product of Silicon Valley, let's say that, where I worked in computers and telecommunications and then in biotech for a number of years, technologist, and basically you're a consummate nerd if you want to classify it. And now I'm a kind of a political junkie, and I'm one of the co-producers of The Viewpoint on the Sunday show for the network, along with Ava Armstrong. We put that together. And I participate in Nozzle from time to time because it's a wonderful show and a fun thing to do and enjoy everybody we work with.
Well, the reason that we've been doing this is because of you and Ava. I blame this all on you and Ava, by the way, this production every afternoon. This is your fault 100%, McKay, you and Armstrong. But anyways, we got a lot of show here this afternoon for your friends. More Nozzle in just a minute. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Removed a pretty big obstacle to these negotiations, and Kim Jong-un, this surprised a lot of people. Again, one of the big obstacles here, folks, is the troops that are in South Korea. We have well over, I guess, about 28,000 troops there. It's no small group there in South Korea. That's a pretty large presence there, and that's always been kind of a sticking point. Well, now Kim Jong-un, to the surprise of a lot of people, and of course, South President Moon, he came out and said that this was confirmed, or at least he's saying that. But, you know, it's kind of hard to watch the bouncing ball here. Ilana, this is, if true, a pretty big story with North Korea. And I got to tell you and ask you right up front, because we haven't talked a bit on this, and I'm wondering now, with everything that is progressing, and with Trump now coming out and saying, the president saying, well, yeah, we're going to have this summit, providing there's a real conversation to have. And if there's not, and things get funny or silly or what have you, well, we're going to step away. Sort of putting the, you know, things in perspective and not trying to overpromise at this point. But he said, hey, listen, it would be good for North Korea. It would be good for the world. It would be good for everybody if we could denuclearize this peninsula here. What do you think? What are the chances, Ilana? What's your best crystal ball say here about this?
Well, one of the stories, you know, I've been trying to figure out why in the world Kim Jong-un would be even interested in denuclearizing, because he's, you know, he's had the support of China, he's had the support of Russia, and certainly he's had a collaborative relationship with Iran in the development of this, his nuclear program. However, something that we talked about some weeks ago, Malcolm, was that the site where they are developing and testing these nuclear devices is suffering from what they call mountain fatigue. In October, there were several tunnel collapses, two in fact, I think, one in which some 200 people were killed, and then the second one in which another 100 people were killed. That's what we know about.
Wow.
And what's happening is that they've been carrying on these nuclear tests under this mountain. It's in northeast North Korea. And the mountain is suffering fatigue, which is like stress, like metal fatigue. Only this is the fatigue of the structure of the mountain. And it could, in the event of another test actually collapse. So, and they've already had these collapses of tunnels and so forth.
Ilana,
so,
I didn't realize all those people were killed there, but isn't that the same mountain that's about 50 miles from China?
Yes.
Pretty
yes,
close.
Exactly. And here's the problem that we may not be taking into account.
Mm-hmm.
Iran is having its own economic problem, even as it is funding the project in North Korea, but also Hamas and Hezbollah and terrorism all over the world. And it may be that Iran is drawing back from this program with North Korea.
Wow.
We don't know all these things, but my guess is, or there is that there's reason to suppose that North Korea is in becoming eager to change its persona because its nuclear program is failing. And it cannot do what it is threatening to do. And it does not want to be found out. So my guess is that and it's just an educated guess because there's so much that we don't know,
mm-hmm.
none of us.
Right.
But I would suppose that this situation is playing a role in this new, totally unexpected turnaround for Kim Jong-un in terms of the relationship that he now wants to build with South Korea. The other thing that may be at play here, too, is that one of his conditions may be that the United States has to remove its troops. And it has, I think, something like 30,000 troops in South Korea.
But now they've removed that, they said. That's not a condition anymore, he's saying. At least South Korean president
has come
out.
You know, he lies. So
well, he lies a lot. That's a very valid point.
We just don't know. We don't know if he's serious. But he seems to be playing this role with a lot of enthusiasm.
I know.
I'm wondering if it doesn't have to do with the failure of his...
You're waiting. You're like me. You're waiting for the other shoe to drop. I know darn well you are. I know you are. But listen. Jim... I hear what Ilana's saying, but listen, there's another piece to this. I believe, Ilana's saying this is her gut, and it could be with the nuclear, failure or what have you, the mountain. I mean, I get all that, but I don't think that's the cause, in my own view. I think it's the ratcheting up of these sanctions that have crippled them. I think they're so crippled right now because China finally came to the table and started to get somewhat serious because, we were catching a lot of their ships in port and doing other stuff when they said, we're doing it. And of course, they really weren't doing it with the sanctions. So these were the most serious sanctions that have ever been put to these people. I think that's a big, big component here as well. What do you think?
I agree with you on the Chinese influence, but I think it has a different origin than just the sanctions.
Okay.
He's been oppressing and has a disregard for his people, for both his father and him now, for years, and I don't think they care. But I think the biggest thing that's happened is Trump has come to the table and come to the forefront with the Chinese and said, we're not going to stand for $500 billion trade deficit any longer. We're going to get serious. First, he talked about the sanctions, the tariffs on Chinese goods. And then
you're talking about Trump now doing that against China.
Trump and the fines on their intellectual property theft and everything. And all of a sudden, the Chinese got really serious about this and looked at it and said, we're not going to have a trade war with the United States because the United States is our biggest customer. And then they looked at this whole thing going on in Korea and said, these little pipsqueaks over here in Korea are causing a lot of trouble. And when Kim Jong-un went to Beijing a few weeks ago, that wasn't for a vacation trip. That was the Chinese president calling him and slapping him down and saying,
you said he was really reprimanded there when that happened, you think?
Oh,
huh?
He went home with his tail between his legs and hasn't done anything or said anything since. And then
I don't think he has any legs, Jim. He's sort of one of those short shits that just run around. I don't know that he has any.
He doesn't have a neck. I mean, his head is just glued.
He's like one of those weebles, those little weebles you play, the kids play with there. He's like one of those. Go ahead.
Funny. He's a dangerous weeble.
But
Pompeo goes over there and now is dictating terms of what we're going to have for the meeting. I mean, that's as simple as can be. I mean, you don't send the CIA chief, somebody at that level, over to sit down with him and have a negotiation. You do it usually at a much lower level diplomatically when you're going to set some of the rules.
All right, two thoughts
this is
here,
a very
Jim.
High-ranking
Jim, two thoughts official. Here. Let me bounce at you here. Number one. Isn't it ironic, friends, that here we are on the thrust of, well, on the crest of whatever's going to be is going to be, and it is a very historical moment. Now, I think both Ilana and Jim would agree with me when I say that. Whatever's happening, yeah, we don't know all the pieces, but we do darn well know whatever's happening right now is a big deal. It's a big deal. I mean, you can't get any bigger than this from a world event. Because just remember, just a couple of months ago, this was pretty ugly what was going on. Rocket Man, missiles flying over Japan, threatening Guam, Hawaii, L.A. I mean, the thing was getting wacky, having successes. I mean, it was getting to be really, really a lot. But here's the brilliance and the very interesting point I want to bring out with you guys. Jim, what you just pull up about the way Trump is, and, you know, a lot of people, guys, they give the president hell for, I mean, the president, like a lot of us, Jim, he's got ADDD, like you and I and the rest of us have. Probably Ilana's got it too, you know? I mean, we're impatient. We want action, you know? And the president's kind of, but see, listen, part of the strategy of this president is he just throws so much in the room. Like, yeah, you want some? Yeah. Here's what's funny. He ran on all this in his campaign, and he's actually doing it, which floors the hell out of people. So here's his, we got a tariff problem? Yeah, we got a tariff problem. Take that. You got a trade problem? Yeah, we got a trade problem. Take that. Yeah, we got a rocket problem? Yeah, Rocket Man, we got that problem. Yeah, we got. And people are just looking around and they're saying, what the hell is he doing? He's got all the burners on, and he's like running around, like, you know, Trump, I'm saying. And really, if you and China, like you just say a moment ago, he's got all this going on with China. But if you really think about it, people, it's a very brilliant strategy because you get them baffled a bit here. You've got so much you're throwing at them. So China knows, just like some of the strategy he's talking about with Japan with Shinzo Abe down in Mar-a-Lago here in the last couple of days here. Same thing. He is a very brilliant strategic. He's a strategist. And I think he's using all of that to really bring China, North Korea, back to Iran, what you were talking about a moment ago, it's a real big jigsaw puzzle is what it is. I think it's a brilliant strategy, Jim. And I think the president, it's so different from a political structure. We've never seen this before. But I got to tell you, like I said before, Jim, he's got like a double oven and a six burner stove and every freaking one of them's on, okay? I mean, and he's, you know, and he's got the grill in the backyard on too. I mean, everything's aflame. No kidding.
Everything's cooking.
Oh, everything's on fire here. He said, what's going on? Well, Trump wants this, that, and the other. And Ilana, what do you think about that? Is that different or what?
I have thought for a long time because I've been watching, you know, the changing landscape of world politics, that the people and the nations who are successful approach their enemies from a position of strength, not from weakness. And what we saw with the Obama administration is that America lost a lot of ground internationally because he was so weak, and he would make promises or threats and then not carry them out. And he would talk a good game, but he wouldn't do anything. What we have with Trump is a man who is willing to put up a strong front and then follow through. When he says he's going to do something, he does it. When he says he's going to, if such and such terms are not met, he is going to do A, B, and C. And he does it. He doesn't hold back. He is approaching the world political arena from a position of
strength,
American strength.
Of
and
strength.
That is what is needed, and
absolutely.
That's why it's going to be so successful.
Absolutely. 100%, Ilana. And you know, Ilana, that is really, you know darn well, Ilana, the previous president that we can think about who carried that forward in such a big way and accomplished so much on the world stage was Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan, absolutely.
I mean, he really is. I mean, he's the poster child for what you're talking about right now. And everybody knew they weren't going to play with Reagan. They knew darn well he was not somebody that, you know, he didn't do those phony red lines out there. You can do your math, people, and figure out what I'm talking about. But he didn't do that at all. So very well said, Ilana. Very well said. All right. Listen, I want to get to Syria and a whole bunch more, but I want to just real quickly. I want to ask you and Jim just real quickly. Mm-hmm. Ilana, does Pompeo get confirmed as Secretary of State, in your opinion, because obviously North Korea peace is very important, and does this summit happen, and does the peninsula get denuclearized? Answer all that in 30 seconds, please.
Okay, I don't know what's going to happen with Pompeo. I think the Senate is a mess right now, and I don't think they have the power to come to any kind of intelligent decision. So I don't know. As far as North Korea is concerned, I do believe the summit will take place.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it will be complete, I don't know. Whether Trump will get up and walk away because he thinks he's being played, we don't know. And will there be peace eventually? The ball's in the air.
Right, okay.
Let's see where it falls.
Jim, pick up what Alana says. What do you think?
Okay, I think Pompeo gets confirmed by a narrow margin in the Senate, there will be enough senators come across the board from the Democratic side to confirm him.
Mm-hmm.
On the Korean Peninsula, I think that the Kim Jong-un has lost everything except the opportunity to be recognized as a peacemaker and to be on center stage. And first thing that'll happen, well, the ceasefire that has existed for the last 50 years between Korea, North and South Korea, will become an armistice, will finally settle the war and put that on the table as the first thing. And then the agreements will come forth to denuclearize and eventually to put a committee together to look at Korean unification. It will be, Trump will hand it as a great victory to Kim Jong-un. You satisfy his ego, and then you'll wind up eventually with a unified Korea, and this is what you do with people like him. I mean, if the Chinese are going to not, the Chinese are not going to let him continue down this nuclear path, because they have too much to lose on the world stage as the world's manufacturing entity, as one of the great players in the world economy. If it got to a point where we turn the Chinese off as a supplier of goods and services to the U.S., it would hurt us temporarily while we reconstructed industry here, but it'll hurt them a whole lot more.
Well said.
Yeah. I think that was brilliant.
Yeah, great analysis from both of you.
I really hope it works out that way.
Yeah, great analysis from both of you, really. That is really well said. Listen, I think that what we're looking at here, people, is history. This is we're writing history books right this moment. This is history. And if this goes on, the thing is, I'll tell you now, Trump will go down as one of the most successful presidents in the history. This is a big deal. It's history. I mean, that's what you're looking at right now. And also to the point of Kim Jong-un, ego is a big part of this. I did state, if you remember, Jim, I think it was on Viewpoint this Sunday a couple of weeks back or so, I did state with his ego that I do believe that that Kim Jong-un is as bad of a madman as he is. I think I actually said a month ago that I wouldn't be surprised at all, this may come as a shock to you, but to find that Kim Jong-un and Trump end up being pretty good players here in the poker game of life because of that ego thing with Kim Jong-un. I think if he can be accepted as a world player and be respected that his regime is in power, nobody's going to go there and sabotage that, or we're not looking to have war with these people. If he can sleep at night knowing that, I think that you could see some very interesting developments here. Anyways, enough of that, but that is really, really interesting. We'll see. And I also believe that Pompeo has got to be Secretary of State. And if he's not Secretary of State, the sky is going to fall. How's that? Because it's ridiculous. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it'll all hit the fan.
Oh, I'll tell you, because I'll hit the fan as well. I'll hit that man is brilliant, and he deserves to be that, and Trump needs, as you just said moments ago, he should absolutely be Secretary of State. Let's talk about Syria a moment. Ilana, these inspectors have been trying to get in there for several days now. It's been, I think, about 11 or 12 days since this thing happened. The reports that I hear, and I've read every piece of information and backdrop I can on this Syria business, and I'll tell you that clearly the reports are that that Russia and the Syrian government there, Assad, that they're in there cleaning up the chemical area. Now, a lot of people are denying that, and there are people on my network that deny that as well. But they say that they're cleaning that up. Some shots were fired. They blamed it on the rebels. The rebels are not anywhere right where that happened, they say, and so it's not any rebels. And so that scared the weapons inspectors away again. We got some real problems here because this is getting to be a game for tit for tat. In the meantime, they're talking about more sanctions on Russia, pushing them away. The president has kind of put a halt to that at the moment. What's the story that you understand with Syria right now, and when will the chemical inspectors get in there, and what's the story? And was Syria and Russia behind this?
Well, that's the $64 question, but the problem is much more complex than that. There are many terrorist groups functioning in Syria. The most well-known for example, ISIS is still there, and it has a smaller, much smaller presence and far less important, but nevertheless, they're there. Al-Nusra is a former Al-Qaeda affiliate, and they separated a few years ago, but nevertheless, they're very active there. And in fact, when this event first happened, when what they think is a poison attack, it was blamed on al-Nusra as well as the Syrian government. And I was sent videos of a false flag event where there wasn't any poison gas. It was all staged. And then you have other stories coming out. I've got one report that the Russian says the Syrian troops found chlorine, and it was of German origin, and that the Russians are blaming the UK and France. So you've got a situation where the water is so muddy that you really can't, and the inspectors can't get in. So you don't really have any facts on the ground, and we are trying to make sense of faulty intelligence.
Do you think it was staged, Alana?
That's a very, very big problem because the situation there is so complex. I don't know. I don't have enough information. You know, one of the things that I do is analyze incoming intelligence, and I'm getting so much intelligence, and each piece is different from the next. So you know, you. I've seen these videos. I've seen these stills, these still shots. I've seen the pictures of children choking to death. I've
exactly.
Seen, you know, foaming at the mouth. But you know, you can stage that with baking soda.
I guess it didn't look staged, but I hear you.
I'm not saying this is what happened. I'm saying I don't know.
Yeah. Well, listen,
and
they're saying.
I don't think anybody does.
Well, the reports are that 75 to 100 people were killed is really what I'm hearing there. But I don't think this was a staged event. I think it happened. And I think they are trying to clean it up. Jim, do you have a different view on that?
You know, right now, every day that they don't let the inspectors in validates that there actually was an attack of using gas.
Yeah, because if it was staged, Jim, they wouldn't be holding back like this.
Wouldn't be holding back. They would let the inspectors in there, and they would blame it on the rebel factions immediately. Mm-hmm. But if the Russians and the Syrians, they're validating the whole case for using the chemical weapons themselves by blocking the inspectors. Mm-hmm.
The problem I have with that analysis is that we're assuming that they're using the same kind of logic that we would.
Yeah.
And, you know, the old story about the camel and the scorpion, this is the Middle East. You don't know what to expect, and you don't know how they're going to react, and it may be totally different from the way we would react. It's a blind game because one group will behave in one way, another group will behave in another way. They may be counter, but they may also be allies, and you just never know what their system of logic, if you can call it that, is going to come up with in response to anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so if we try to apply Western logic to that, I think we're going to fail.
Yeah. Exactly. They can come out with a story right now, the Russians and the Syrians, and saying there was the gas attack actually happened. It happened from the rebel factions, and we were there cleaning it up to make sure the safety of the inspectors and the people that are still living there is ensured. That's a perfectly logical explanation that they could make.
Jim, I want to touch on one thing before we leave this and go to the next item, guys. I want to talk to you just, Ilana, you mentioned al-Nusra a moment. And I want to stop there a moment because I've been seeing all these other stories, and Now, El Nursa has sort of morphed into another group, and there's a more prominent group out there now, they say. There has been a lot of damage against the ISIS folks. Again, these are all groups of terrorist groups that are one up in each other. That's what we're talking about here. But the group that supposedly has got a very big dominance in the northern part of Syria, I understand, is a group called Tahrir al-Sham. You're familiar with this group?
Yeah, I need a little bit more on the spelling of that.
Tahrir al-Sham, A-L-S-H-A-M.
Tahrir al-Sham, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
And this is supposedly El Nursa has morphed into what this group is. I'll give you three headlines right now. The Wall Street Journal says, as Islamic State fades in Syria, another militant group takes root. Another story in The Independent, while defeat of ISIS dominates global attention, Al-Qaeda strengthens. And my third headline for you in the BBC News is Tahrir al-Sham, Al-Qaeda's latest incarnation in Syria, which was Al-Nursa, they say, from what I understand here. But this is supposed to be a very dominant group now in the northern part of Syria, which could make it even more complicated. Jim, do you know about this as well, or do you?
The entire structure of that part of the world is still tribal, and they change the names every other week and the allegiance to which person that they're fighting with and for, depending on, okay, you know, the way the wind blows. So tribal warfare in Afghanistan, in Syria, in Iraq, in every place, it's been going on for thousands of years, and I don't think we're going to change it.
Well, there's a lot of stories about what I'm talking about right now, Ilana, so we'll have to talk more about this ahead, but this is what I'm seeing and hearing, and I've read several reports on it, but it could be another piece and another component to the Syria complex.
Just a quick note on this flow of conversation. This is exactly what happens. ISIS was formed from from Al Qaeda,
exactly,
and from a series of name changes. And then they came into Syria in 2011 and started operating under a variety of names until they finally solidified into the Islamic State. But the morphing of one group into another, they come together, they separate, they fight, they partner. It's a continual changing atmosphere, and it's very, very difficult for us to understand, no less follow.
Yeah, right. Well, listen, a lot of information here. There's something else about Syria. There's no question it's a mess, but you know, the president's strategy of trying to pull American troops out of there and really get the Arab forces in play to do more. In fact, John Bolton, Ilana, has been speaking to Cairo, to Egypt's intelligence chief out there, to get them to not just contribute dollars, but they want troops. Trump wants troops. And that's the story we reported on the other day, that, you know, a lot of people were going off the deep end to say, why is Trump pulling out of Syria? He was never pulling out of Syria specifically. He was trying to get the Arab nations to step up, which, you know, we talk about all the time here, but never really happens. Obviously, you support that move.
I think that the most important thing that we need to understand, and Trump seems to understand it, and so does John Bolton, is that when you're dealing with the Middle East, you must come in from a position of strength. And that's what they're doing. And the bombing that they did the other night, it doesn't matter whether Syria did if there was a gas attack at all, whether Syria did it or whether al-Nusra did it or whoever did it, it doesn't matter, because this showed that we are not going to put up with any of this nonsense.
Okay.
And that they have got to get their act together if they want to survive.
All right, more Nozzle in just a moment, friends.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. Sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
That Mitch McConnell came out and said, no, he's not going to have that on the floor of the Senate. Well, get a load of this. We talked about this the other day, Jim. And so now, just today here, the Judiciary Chairman Chuck Grassley, he confirms and says, no, the committee is going to vote next week. We're moving forward on this. This is a bill to protect Special Counsel Mueller from being fired in the midst of the Russian investigation. Nothing like rubbing salt in the wound. As the president says in this press conference with Shinzo Abe yesterday here, listen, you see frickin' frack? They're still there, aren't they? He didn't say frickin' frack. That's my words. But but the point is that he said, you know, yeah, Jack and Jill frickin' frack, you name it, you call it. It's the same stuff.
Frickin' frack is good.
Exactly. They're still there. They're still there. What difference does it make? You know, I mean, okay, we'll use Hillary's language, right? You know, what difference does it make? Those lines are going to go down in infamy, I have to tell you. The biggest klutz in the neighborhood. Anyways, Jim, what do you think of this? Yeah, because Grassley, he's really starting to piss me off, quite frankly. So he says that some have raised the question of why the committee plans on proceeding with the markup, despite the fact that the majority leader has indicated that he will not take the bill on the floor, he says, during this committee meeting. The views of the majority leader are obviously important to consider. Like, okay, really, you think? But they do not govern what happens here on the Judiciary Committee. That's basically telling McConnell to go to hell and shut up. What do you think, Jim, about this?
I think it's all bloviating and a lot of noise by the Judiciary Committee, especially the Democrats on the committee and a few people that are have been anti-Trumpers for a long time that still sit in the Senate. It doesn't do anything from a legal concept. The president, these people are in the executive. They work in the executive branch. If the president wants to fire them, he can fire them on the spot.
That's
it. They don't work for Congress.
You know, that's what's so funny about this whole story. Jim, you just said it right there. And thank you for saying that, because I can't seem to get people to understand that all these people report and work really for the president, for the White House. I mean, this is how this thing works. He darn well can fire them. But then people say, oh my God, that'll be a constitutional crisis. We can't do this. You know what I say? Fire his ass. We'll have right now. We got a non-functioning crisis. So what's the difference, Ilana Friedman? A non-functioning crisis with a barrel of monkeys, or a constitutional crisis?
Remember that that Trump is a strategist, and he may feel. I mean, I think he should fire him.
You agree with me, Ilana. You agree with me for once.
So full of themselves that they don't allow, you know, a proper process, a proper legal process to take place, and get so full of their own power that they're after everybody. I think they need to be removed. However, it may be Trump's idea that if they leave him alone and he doesn't find anything, mm-hmm. it's all going to go away.
Right, I agree. I agree with that.
That would be my guess. But, you know, from my point of view, I'm disappointed in Grassley.
I am too.
But well, I think in this particular case, he's too.
I'm with you 100%. Listen, and I got another one specially I pulled for you, a news story. But before I do that, I want you to tell all the listeners right now and everybody, I want you to say it very clearly in English. I agree with Malcolm. Say that, please.
I agree with Malcolm.
Okay, that's good. That's important for Jim McKay to hear. Because everybody comes on this show and agrees with Jim McKay and not me. And I'm just tired of it. Finally, because somebody, Jim, he agrees with me.
Jim too.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised at that. That's
exactly my point. Anyways.
No, well, you know, 99, you can't be wrong all the time.
Exactly, exactly. No respect. What was that that comedian there? No respect comedian, right?
Dangerfield. No respect.
Danger, right? No respect. I like that, man. I got no respect here, man. He made a career out of that. Hey, listen, I got one for you, Ilana. I pulled especially for you. You're not going to believe what although maybe you know this story. I'm thinking you possibly don't. I brought it up at the end of the show, I think yesterday, the day before, with Jim and Ava, and they about had a heart attack. But This is an amendment. This is a true story, what I'm going to tell you next here. This is an amendment being considered, like, for real. I'm not making this up, people. By the House Agricultural Committee that would change the Animal Welfare Act. And what it would do, it would bar people that you could not make a meal out of a dog or a cat, or it will land you in jail soon. So let me give you that. This is like killer stuff here, right? It's the most important thing today, right? So, I mean, we dogs and cats are our pets here. We don't eat them here in America specifically, right? Okay. So if you knowingly slaughter a dog or a cat for human consumption, this bill is going to go after you. It's about eating pet meat. They're pets, not animals, but pets versus animals. So this is like very rare in the U.S., they say. And after studying this a little bit more, I found out there's a handful of states, get a load of this now, including New York, New Jersey, and California, that ban such this butchering, they call it here. And violators could get a year imprisonment if this thing is passed. Ilana, I was thinking of you being a farmer out there, not only an intelligence analyst, but being on a real farm and all, that I was thinking of you, this is kind of gross, isn't it?
It is. It's anti our culture. If you go to Korea, just even South Korea, they eat dog over there.
They do.
They raise dogs for food.
The Vietnamese do.
It is, but it is totally against our Western culture because dogs are our friends. I have a service dog. If anybody were able to to approach him, I'd probably shoot him. Not the dog, the man.
Exactly.
Because nobody's going to eat my dog. Mm-hmm. And I think most Americans feel this way. However, because of all the immigration that we have had over the last few years, there are people coming in who do eat dogs.
And that's what they say. There are some of those people exist in the country, Ilana. They say there's some of that going on here, believe
it
or not.
And so this may be something that is necessary.
Well, it may be. I don't know. But that's what I was talking about the other day, Jim.
Does it warrant being a constitutional amendment, though?
Yes.
I mean,
probably not. Well, look, in 2016, I'm sorry, in 1966, Congress passed a Laboratory Animal Welfare Act to prevent pets from being stolen for sale to research labs.
Right.
And I remember when that happened, and that was a big deal because people were having pets stolen out of their yard, and then the thieves would sell them, so then they would be experimented on.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, when you think pets are, animals are pets, and they're, you know, your buddies, that's horrendous.
Well,
what I do, which is raise animals for food.
Right, right.
I think a federal law is warranted.
Yeah.
But a federal law is definitely warranted.
I agree with
that. Not an amendment to the Constitution.
I mean, a congressional amendment would take 10 years to do.
Yeah.
I mean,
it would
probably fail. It would, but you could, I think that could get through Congress.
Yeah, they're talking about an actual amendment. I did say that. You're right. Yeah, it's not just, So I guess that's what they're looking at. I guess they take it pretty serious, Jim.
And I mean, when we have a do-nothing Congress, if they can't pass something like that in a bipartisan fashion, you know exactly what we're dealing with those nutcases.
Yeah, yeah.
They are totally incapable of doing anything constructive, as far as I can tell.
All right, listen, I want to talk to you guys. Another thing trending this afternoon here, and I don't know, do either of you have you taken Vicodin before, Vicodin?
I had it a long time ago.
Yeah, Jim, you take Vicodin? Is that part of your drug scene?
No, I took for the injury I took Norco for a little while.
Well, let me tell you about, because you were in the hospital not so long, guys. Let me just tell you, Vicodin is trending all day here, today here, and the reason is Prince. You remember Prince?
Yeah.
Well, here's another big story today. He thought he was taking Vicodin, but it was fentanyl that he was taking. And this is what killed him.
That will kill you.
Yeah, and so evidently this story gets a little more stranger. In Minnesota County, where he was pronounced dead there, no criminal charges will be filed. It was an accident, evidently. They don't know where the source of this came from, but it was a two-year probe that went on here. It was counterfeit Vicodin, and it was laced with fentanyl. And that's what killed him, guys. Can you believe this story?
I do believe it because there is a tremendous trafficking in counterfeit drugs, and in fentanyl specifically for drug users, so people who are taking heroin, for example, or something.
Yeah, else, Prince.
It is laced with fentanyl, and it will kill you.
There you go. Well, Prince was only 57 years old, and one other thing I want to tell you: listen to the stat here. The autopsy they did and all that, and they come out and said the accidental overdose of fentanyl. It's a synthetic opioid, 50 times more powerful than heroin. Can you believe that?
Isn't that
isn't that the same thing they were giving Michael Jackson? You know?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I think it was the same drug that he was taking. They were giving it to him for sleep.
Yeah, very interesting.
Because it doesn't
sleep. Forever.
Yeah, it puts you right out.
One thing I will say to you both, when I was had a procedure, I don't like medication of any kind for me. I'm not a medication guy. I'm not a drug guy. I've never done drugs, and I don't like medication. I have to really. So, when I went through a surgery not too long ago, and I had to go through this surgery, okay? Well, what happened here is they went ahead and gave me Vicodin, and I got really sick with the Vicodin, really, really sick. I can't take this. I can't take any narcotics. My system doesn't do well with it. So I can understand where this would kill him, but this was laced with fentanyl here.
Wasn't Vicodin that killed him. I had Vicodin many, many years ago for procedure that was done that was extremely painful.
Yeah.
And Vicodin just sort of put me
out there. Oh, man, it throws you in another hemisphere, Ilana. I got to tell you, it made me so sick.
It was a totally different environment.
I thought I was dying. I thought I was dying from it.
The reactions are horrible.
Yeah, it's bad.
You know, if you don't react well to a drug, you need to stay away from it.
No, when I take, Jim, is I take Fruit Loops when I'm sick. You know, that helps me.
Yes, they're great.
Yeah, they're great.
I'll go for M&M's.
M&M's you take? All right. What's your poison, Jim? We only got a couple minutes left here. Listen, couple things here real quick. Number one, one of the other stories I want to mention to you that just came in that I just found out is Democratic Senator Heidi Heitkamp there. She announced that she will support Mike Pompeo.
Yay.
Wow.
How do you like that? Okay. So
yeah,
she will. So, yeah, that wasn't a joke. You started laughing, Jim. That's real information. Yeah. So she's going to support.
Take intelligence seriously, Jim.
Got to take it serious, Jim. Come on. One other thing I want to tell everybody today is hashtag National High Five Day. So I'm going to give a virtual high five to Jim and Ilana. And I got to tell you a couple tweets real fast. One of the tweets, the Twitter handle, Ask Dr. Ruth. She says, I know it's hashtag National High Five Day, but a hug is much more appropriate after having sex. That's what she says. And Mercy says, and listen to this, Ilana. I was thinking of you for this one as too. It says, pigs are considered the fifth most intelligent animal in the world. Did you know that, Ilana?
I did know that. They're very intelligent, and the way pigs are raised is disgusting.
I didn't know that, and here I've been calling...
They're very smart. They're like dogs.
Oh, my God, but Ilana, here I've been calling my siblings all these years pigs. I didn't realize I was complimenting them. My God, I'm embarrassed.
They're not dirty animals. They're very clean animals, but they're kept...
I'm embarrassed. Listen, we got to get to predictions here. No more bad talk here. All right, Ilana, we got to do it. We got to wrap up quick here. You got 20 seconds. Give us your predictions, love.
Oh, I think it's going to be a great week. I'm looking forward to spring. Because we haven't had any this year, and it's well overdue. So my prediction is that spring is on its way.
I love that. Jim, from an intelligence analyst, that is a great, great prediction, I have to tell you. That makes me feel good. Jim, what's yours?
It's going to be 85 degrees down here today and just blue skies. That's first off. Secondly, Pompeo will be confirmed with about 65 votes, and the meetings will go on in Korea and be very successful outcomes on a broad range of topics.
Yeah, there you go. Big thank you to Ilana Friedman, Jim McKay. Thank you for joining us on Nozzle Friends. Nozzle off.